I am always humbled to be able to share the word of God with all of you, and to just be able to come here and worship him with all of you. It's always such a blessing to be able to gather together. And I was so strengthened, especially after last week, after Easter, just getting to wholeheartedly focus on Jesus' resurrection. The King of Kings, he conquered sin and death, and he opens up that doorway through the cross, through the empty tomb, so that we can actually walk in new life, resurrected life, defeating the power of sin, and living with death having no hold on us as well. If that doesn't get you just excited and amped up, I mean, I walked out yesterday, or last week, I mean, and every day since then, just giving praise to God for that. So with Easter being such a big Sunday, it can feel like the following Sunday is maybe not quite as big. We don't have the program. We don't have Jesus and the disciples walking across the stage during a skit as well. But Easter is the reason that we come together every other Sunday of the rest of the year. Every other Sunday is us gathering together as the body of Christ to celebrate the resurrection again and again and again. So we're celebrating that again this morning. That doesn't stop. And he is worthy to be worshipped for that. With that being said, it still has meaning for us this week too, the resurrection. Because we follow Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we bury our old sinful selves. And we're also resurrected to new and holy life too. And we've been talking about how to live out this new and holy life as part of a church, a body of believers, a church, as part of a church community as well. And so living a new and a holy life as a church will help lead to us becoming a church for the region. So this particular message, outside looking in, is kind of a check-in during this series. We've talked about kingdom work. We've talked about examining ourselves. We've talked about loving God, loving people, being a Christian soldier, looking for opportunities, forgiveness. Hopefully all of these are coming back to your mind as well. And they're all helping us to better understand who we need to be as individuals and who we need to be as a church in order to truly and effectively be a church for the region that impacts Lake and Porter County. So when we were talking about this series a couple months ago, before it started, one of the concepts, one of the ideas that came to mind was the idea of outside looking in. And so we've got kind of three parts to that that we're going to look at this morning and kind of work through. So we're just going to dive right in. Part one of outside looking in. What do those on the outside of South Lake see when they look at us? Outside looking in. Can the region see God at work in South Lake? Now, we can be quick to answer this question as people inside the church. We want people to know that we care about them, and we do. I genuinely believe that we do care about people. But do the people outside of South Lake actually experience this? In 2020, Barna published findings from some of their State of the Church 2020 research. It was a year-long study of spiritual and religious trends, specifically in the U.S. And here's what they found pertaining to the question of church's community impact. They found that practicing Christians means those who attend church at least monthly and answered that their faith is very important to their life. So practicing Christians firmly believe that Christian churches have a strong community impact. 66% of these practicing Christians said the church has a very positive impact in the community surrounding the church. And 28% say somewhat positive. So 94% of people in the survey inside the church believe that the church has a positive impact in the community around them. However, only a quarter of the rest of the U.S. population agrees that churches have a very positive impact. The same percentage, 27% for both, who say the church has no impact at all. The rest of the U.S. population, a quarter say that they do have a very positive impact, but there's also a quarter who say there's no impact from churches. 38% of U.S. adults say it has just a somewhat positive impact. So that's not bad, but we'd like to see that be a little bit higher. And then when we look at non-Christians, so not just people in the U.S. who are familiar with church, but non-Christians, 39% of non-Christians say there is no impact from church, from churches in the area. There's no impact outside of the church walls. 10% of people outside looking in say the church has a somewhat negative impact. And then 8% of those outside looking in, non-Christians, say the church has a very negative impact in the community. So 39% of people outside looking in say, doesn't make a difference. There's no impact. And then 18% of people outside looking in the U.S. who are non-Christians say, oh, they're making an impact, but it's not a good one. 18% say there's a very negative impact in the community. So this is not just about changing perception of the church. It's not just about changing people's perception of the church, but it's about how we can actually give people a new experience of the church. After all, Paul tells us in Corinthians 4 to conduct ourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. So this statistic may be, these statistics may be surprising, and they may not to some of you, but it shouldn't just cause us to sit and wallow and think, oh man, this world, it's so messed up. Or, man, those people just, they don't see how good we really are. They don't see the good the church has to offer. Whether these people have been hurt by a church community, which very likely is the case, or whether they just haven't experienced or haven't seen the good that the church, the body of Christ, can do in a community, this statistic shows that we actually have a great opportunity ahead of us. Not just to change statistic for statistics' sake, but to create new experiences for people, to show them what the body of Christ can do, to show them the impact in the community. But our impact out there starts with us in here. So how will people outside South Lake, or what will people outside South Lake see when they look at us? Now, I've been thinking about Ash Wednesday a little bit more, even since then, and how walking around with a cross on your forehead might have felt a little uncomfortable. What would be changed if you had to be marked with a cross on your forehead every day of the year? A cross on your forehead literally marking you as a follower, a disciple of Jesus. That might make you a little bit more conscious of your interactions with other people. And also, when we all have a cross on our foreheads together, I got to sit up here and do that for half the room. When we looked out and we got to see a congregation full of people with crosses marked on their forehead, hopefully it would remind us that we belong to one another. We're unified. That's what unifies us. People outside, if we had that on our foreheads every year, people outside looking in may know us by the crosses on our foreheads. They may recognize us as the people with the cross on our foreheads. But if we only mark our foreheads with a cross once a year, and if we don't have like official badges like in the FBI to hold up and say, I'm a Christian, I've got credentials, then what will people know us by? How will people outside looking in know who we are? The region, they might recognize our logo or see our Facebook page. They might even hear that we have really, really good coffee. It's true. All of those things are really good and helpful and even necessary at times. But are those the things that will lead to the region looking in from the outside and saying, God is actually doing something in Southlake. God is actually at work in Southlake. So what will people know us by? If our love for one another is lost in all the things that we try to do, then people outside looking in will fail to recognize Christ in our midst. So how will people outside looking in see us? Let's look at John chapter 13, verses 33 through 35 together. Now for some context, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, which is something the servant of the house would typically do for the guests. So Jesus, the teacher, the rabbi, the Son of God, got down and washed all of his disciples, who a lot of them were teenagers and a little bit older, their feet, dirty feet. All of the disciples, including Judas. Then he addresses his disciples, and given the context, this can apply to us who are also disciples of Jesus as well. He says in verse 33, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now also I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." For those outside of this sanctuary right now, what would they see when they look at our church? I think if someone from the region got close enough to our church to look inside, they would see pretty clearly that our church loves one another really well for the most part, most of the time. Jesus calls his disciples little children. They weren't 5 and 6 year old kids, but he calls them little children because there's always room to grow. There's always room to grow. We may love one another well most of the time, but there might still be conflict between families or conflict between individuals that needs forgiven or resolved. There might still be someone who's slipping through the cracks that needs people from our church to reach out to them. There might be someone who needs help from your life group, Sunday school class, or the staff who we just haven't made the time for yet. For the most part, though, I see other people stepping up to give people rides to church or to the doctor. I see people stepping up to help with yard work. I see organizing and participating in meal trains for people who need it, families and individuals who need these things. I see one another praying for each other. I see people serving selflessly with our kids. And I see people, all of you, giving generously, what, 6 times more to the Ukrainian refugees than what our district even kind of asked for? So I see us loving each other really well. There's always room to grow, though. When we look at this passage, too, also notice that Jesus wasn't suggesting love as an option. He's like, you know what, you can be saved by me, and then it might just go a little bit smoother for you as a church congregation if you try and love each other. No, he's saying, this is a new command I give you. It's a command. As my mom used to say, no ifs, ands, or buts. I thought that was funny as a 5-year-old. No ifs, ands, or buts. He commands us to love one another. So when we don't love one another, we're failing to follow in step with his leading. But when we do, we're actually walking in worship of God through our obedience. He also commands his disciples to love each other in the same way he loved them. In the same way. What did Jesus do right before he told them this? He washed their feet. He washed his disciples' feet. Well, no, except Judas, because he knew that Judas was going to betray him later on. But he washed his disciples' feet. Oh, no, except for Peter as well, because Peter denied even knowing him, and he knew that was going to happen. So, except for Peter. And then But he watched the rest of them. Oh, except for Thomas, because Thomas didn't believe the power of the resurrection. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. What makes our love Christ-like is when we share it with imperfect people and when we share it despite the conflicts we have with them. That's what makes our love Christ-like. So this is what it should look like from the outside looking in. Other people will see our love for one another, as imperfect as we all are, and they will know that we are truly a church of Jesus' disciples. Jesus commands us to love one another in this way. He says this is how people will recognize us. So I have to ask myself, do I take this seriously? Is that how people know me? When people look at me, do they see me as this person, as one of Jesus' disciples? Do people know me for my humor more than that? Probably not. Do people know me for my golf ability? Do people know me for my ability to ramble on and on and on about the Bible more than anybody else? My youth group might know that. Or do they know me as someone who does not withhold love from anyone? So for us as a congregation, we have to ask, do we take this seriously? What do we want people to know us for? Do I want people to know the youth group for, like, that's the youth group that has so much fun? Probably a part of it. Those are the best sermons I've ever heard at that church. Or when you walk in those doors, they really care about how you're doing. Or maybe even, you don't even have to go in those doors. Those people go out of their way to show you love and care and to express that for anybody. So we have to keep this command in the forefront of our minds so that other people won't know us for our indifference towards one another. They won't know us for an individual pastor, as awesome as he is, and for an awesome sign out front, but that they know who we are because of our selfless, gracious, and humble love that we show to one another. So we know we're called as a group to love one another, just as Jesus did here in this church body, inside these walls, inside this congregation. So then the second part of this, outside looking in, narrows it down on you as an individual. Part two, what do you personally look like on the outside versus the inside? What do you personally look like on the outside versus the inside? In Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 26, Jesus is in the middle of sharing seven warnings to Pharisees and religious leaders. We're going to focus on this fifth one here. And as we read this, before anybody else's name pops up in your mind that you're like, oh, that reminds me of that person, put that thought aside and focus, does this sound like you? Focus solely on if this describes you. In verse 25, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also." Clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, and the outside of it may become clean also. Now, there are times where the outside doesn't match the inside. I might be really struggling in patience with a conversation with Brooke, but I choose to bite my tongue or choose gracious words, because even if I really, really don't feel like it in the moment, or I really, really don't want to, I know that that is how God has called me to live. The outside doesn't quite match the inside, but I choose to follow God's way. Because faith is a journey. Sometimes our head doesn't match our heart. Sometimes we just have to do what we know is right, and then God will help our hearts catch up. Other times, though, and this is what this passage is really focusing on, is we may actually be self-righteous. We may think that we're better than other people because of what we do that other people can see. Are we clean on the outside and filthy on the inside? Filled with greed or robbery and self-indulgence? Everything I do is about me. How I look to others. How that makes me feel. Why it's best for me. How it builds up my life. And in the process of doing and grabbing everything for me, I might be robbing others of money, but I also might be robbing them of joy. I might be robbing them of peace. I might even be robbing them of the value that God has given them. I might be robbing them of their security, and I might be robbing them of God's work in their life that He's actually called me to be a part of. Are we clean on the outside and filthy on the inside? Are we filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness? Not listening to the direction of any of our Christian brothers or sisters? Failing to follow their godly advice? Disregarding what the Bible teaches? Disregarding what it's revealed about God and who He is and the life that He calls us to? All the while trying to make ourselves look better to other people. Greed and robbery happens with more than just money. Jesus was confronting the religious leaders, particularly on the money in this case. But this is just one of seven woes. Greed and robbery happens with more than just money. And self-indulgence is more than just eating a tub of ice cream and binging Netflix. They are heart conditions. They're inward heart conditions that need fixed by God. And when they are, it will lead to a changed outward life. Clean the inside of the dish, and then the outward will also be cleaned as well. So for us to hear the warning of Jesus here and clean both the inside and the outside of the dish, we have to be willing to let God go from the outside of our hearts to the inside of our hearts, so that we can change not just our actions, but our whole lives. Jesus doesn't want just behavior therapy. God doesn't want human doings. He wants human beings. He wants us to be like Him, not just act like Him. So one way to start allowing God to do this work, one way to allow God from the outside to the inside of our hearts is to work through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, the love chapter. And we can read it, and it tells us about love. But if we want it to tell us about ourselves, put your name in every instance where it says love. And then hear how that sounds. Nick is patient. Nick is kind and not jealous. Nick does not brag and he is not arrogant. Nick does not act unbecomingly. Nick does not seek his own self-interest. Nick is not provoked and he does not take into account a wrong suffered. Nick does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but he rejoices with the truth. Nick bears all things, he believes all things, he hopes all things, and he endures all things. Do I sound like a hypocrite? Or does that sound accurate? If you put your name in this and you sound like a hypocrite, then that's an opportunity. That's a doorway to invite God into your heart and to invite the others that He's placed in your life as well. So if you're not sure if you sound like a hypocrite or not, ask someone who will give you honesty. maybe a family member, probably a sibling would be the best one to give you the brutal honesty. But do you sound like a hypocrite, or does that sound accurate when you put your name? Because God is calling us to be loving people. Allow God to change your heart from the inside so that your life will outwardly show it. The more God changes our hearts, the more we'll actually recognize and be willing to jump into what God is already doing in the world. We just sang a song that says, "Even when I don't see it, you're working." But maybe we're not seeing it because we're not looking for it. Or maybe it's been held from us because we haven't let God in. So the more God changes our hearts, the more we'll not only be willing to jump in, but also we'll be able to recognize where he's already at work. So we've talked about how people outside looking in will know us by our Christ-like love for one another, and how God wants to go from the outside of our hearts to the inside of our hearts so that he can change our lives from the inside to the outside. And now part three, outside looking in. Are you sitting on the outside looking in at what God is doing? Do people outside of Southlake look in and just see a bunch of people who are also sitting on the outside just looking in at what God is doing? Or do they see people who are actively working with God to accomplish his will in the world and what he's already doing? Paul helps us understand this in Romans 12:9. He says, "Love must be free of hypocrisy." I like the way the NLT says it too. It says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them." And then John tells us again in another letter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "Little children," there it is again. We always have room to grow. "Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." The NLT, again, hits the nail on the head too, I think. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love one another. Let us show the truth by our actions." Don't just sit on the sideline. Jump into what God is already doing. Our actions reveal if we really believe Christ. I didn't say believe in Jesus. He was a real person. Our actions believe if we really reveal, or if we really believe Christ. Are we going to take the word at his word and get in the game? Are you just in the game or sitting on the couch watching it? The NBA playoffs are going on right now. And I don't see any NBA players in the congregation, so that means if you're interested in it, you're probably on the couch watching the game. To be in the game, you actually have to be selected by the coach or the owner. You've got to go to the workouts. You've got to practice the skills. You've got to take the ice bath. You've got to support your teammates. And these things can be really, really challenging sometimes. But when you get a taste of the joy of the prize, waking up at 5 a.m. for a workout just makes you want to get stronger. Repeating the skills just makes them more a part of your nature. The ice bath and the physical therapy is a refreshing jolt of reality and a painful experience that actually helps you to get better for the next day. And then in the actual game, when you're actually playing, there's a joy. You get to see the result of all of your dedication and your practice. It's all a challenge that just draws us closer and closer to Christ. So when the people in Lake and Porter County look at South Lake, we don't want them to just see a bunch of people who come together every Sunday and hang out just with the people that they like and drink a really good cup of coffee and hear a really great message and then go and do nothing with it. We don't want them to just come and see a Christian tailgate. We want them to look at South Lake and say, "Something is radically different there. Those people actually believe what they're talking about." Those people are crazy. They really believe this stuff. They're in the game. That's what we want people to say and see when they look at us. We want people to see that there's a bunch of people here that are actually in the game, not just sitting on the sideline watching it. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul expresses this beautiful worship poem almost of Christ. And there he tells us that if we have experienced the salvation Christ has given, if we've received salvation from Christ, or if we've felt his love at all, or if we have been welcomed into a community that is marked by being disciples of Jesus, who are known for their love for one another, or if we're being changed from the inside to the out to be more compassionate people towards others, if we've experienced any of those things, then we need to be unified and intent on one purpose. What is that purpose that he tells us? In verse 10, he says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In this poem, Paul tells us that Jesus humbled himself to accomplish God's will. He humbled himself to accomplish God's will so that God would be glorified and honored and worshiped by everyone. That all people would acknowledge that God is worthy because of the work that Christ has done and the work his church has done. All people would acknowledge that God is worthy because of the work of Christ and the work of the church. So to accomplish God's will, Jesus had to humble himself in obedience and in participation. Jesus had to humble himself in obedience and participation. We just looked at what Jesus' participation looked like on Good Friday. If Jesus is willing to participate and open the doorway for us, then we have to be able to humble ourselves in obedience to God and in participation of his work to accomplish his will in our area. Will people recognize that God is holy and worthy and loving and good if his people are passive about God's mission to restore what's broken and find what is lost? They're not going to see that. But God is working in the region through South Lake. And your participation in God's work through the church is how those statistics get changed. That's how we give people new experiences of who God is. That's how we help show them that God is worthy and loving. Because we can talk about it all we want, but if we're not in the game living it, then people are indifferent about it. So our participation in God's work through South Lake is how we accomplish God's will in our area. What could that look like? A great place to start. The next time they're available, join a life group. Or even start one. Maybe God is calling you to lead a life group. And in there, you'll practice loving others despite their imperfections. And you'll give God an opportunity to go from the outside to the inside so that he can clean you from the inside and clean the outside of your life. Help support us in launching the pre-K. Be in prayer. Pray fervently for God to accomplish this. Pray for God to provide, to lift up people, to lift up leaders. He's already been doing that. God's already at work. All we got to do is jump in and be a part of it. When it comes time to give, give what God prompts you to give. And when he leads you to make connections and build relationships, Be courageous and make those connections. Make the effort. So many of you have given clothes to support the clothing closet. Maybe there's someone that you know right now who could use clothes, and you can bring those clothes directly to them. Participate in God's work. Show them God is loving and caring by being loving and caring. Volunteer with VBS this summer. We're going to bring in lots of kids from the outside to the inside. So when we do that, show them who God is. Begin to mentor or disciple someone younger than yourself. Share the trials of your life. Share maybe the times that you failed. Share what helped you succeed. And most importantly, share how God has been so good and faithful to you. Mentor or disciple someone younger than you. We don't want to just sit on the outside looking in at what all God has done and all that he wants to accomplish through you and through the church. Experiencing the salvation of Christ is the beginning. Your participation in God's work is how we give a new experience to those outside looking in. Your participation. Could you pray with me? God, we thank you for your invitation to participate with you. God, we thank you for inviting us in, as imperfect as we are, as unqualified as we are. But God, our unqualified resume is what you highlight. God, the ways that we feel less than worthy only glorifies you more. God, the things that you are leading us to do and say, the people who you are helping us to become, the ways that you are working in our life, God, they all point to your goodness and your love for us. They point to your goodness and your love and your care for the world. God, I pray that we would recognize you, that we would follow your leading, that we would worship you in song here, but God, we would also worship you by walking in step with loving one another. God, help us to grow up into maturity in the faith. God, you call us little children, and we will always be that. But God, help us to be growing little children. God, give us eyes to see the opportunities that you are placing in front of us every single day to show someone else how good you are. God, I pray that our love for one another would be a light in a dark area. God, I pray that people would look to us and say, they really care for one another. That doesn't make any sense. God, I pray that our love would be louder than our words. God, I pray that you would also burst into our hearts. God, if we are keeping you at arm's length, I pray that you would disarm us. I pray that your spirit would enter into our hearts, that you would begin to rearrange, that you would begin to clean us out. God, that you would wash us on the inside. And that we would live accordingly, God, on the outside. That everything we would do would be for you and for your glory, for our relationship with you, for others' relationship with you, for obedience and worship to you, God. God, that we would not be robbing others, that we would not be self-indulging, but we would only indulge in you. God, and I pray that through these incredible opportunities and paths you've laid before this church, I pray that you would rise up your people, God, that you would cause our hearts to stir, that you would open our minds and our ears and our eyes to be able to see how you're leading us, to give us an avenue to be a part of your work. God, help us to be uncomfortable sitting on the sideline. God, help us to team up together with one another, that we would encourage one another, that we would jump in, that we would not be timid, but that we would be courageous, God, help us to follow you in all that we do. God, we just praise you and honor you this morning for your word, for helping us to see with your eyes from the outside looking in how our lives look and how you are calling us to live, God. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' powerful name. Thank you, Ryan, for leading us in worship this morning through song. We have an opportunity ahead of us to worship with more than songs, in addition to the songs. We have an opportunity to worship God with our lives, with our hearts, with our words, with our thoughts, with where our feet take us. So Southlake, if you would like to receive a blessing, would you please stand and hold out your hands like this? God has already blessed you immensely. Just look around. He has given you a body of believers to encourage you to be his mouthpiece when they need to be. And God has blessed you to also be a mouthpiece for when he needs you to speak up. We talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's a reality. God is doing his work through you. We don't need to clean our lives ourselves to do that work, because God is doing that work himself. We just have to get out of the way and let him in to do it. So God is washing both your heart and your life all in one and sending you on a mission to participate in the work that he's already done, to get in the game, to not sit on the outside looking in at what he's doing, but to go from the outside to the inside of what he's doing so that people on the outside can look in and say, God is at work, God is real, God is alive, and he is moving. So Southlake, be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged by the word. Be encouraged by your calling as the body of Christ. And love one another. And this way they will know that you follow Jesus because you love one another well. So have a blessed Sunday and a blessed week, and be a blessing for someone else. Hug them, tell them you love them.